Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. The parade of new programming ventures reaching viewers through smart TV sets and TVX devices marches on. At least two more joined this throng last week, and we're putting the spotlight on them today. Minnow is geared to kids and parents, and Chief Executive Officer Eric Gotts joins me next from Nashville. Our second venture is BN Sports Extra, expanding that operation's sports content to the smart TV universe. Here, BN Executive Antonio Brasino, latest hour from Miami. Also ahead, Ryan's new Rockin' Eve crew, Strange Angel Out, our classic trivia question, and farewell to a happy warrior of television, Frank Biondi of HBO and Viacom. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. This is already books whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial this Thanksgiving week at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Good to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon for the program All About Television, second of 3 Thanksgiving Week 2019 episodes we are doing. We're on yesterday, we're on today, and tomorrow at the very same hour. 6 degrees top of the hour, so wonderful guests coming your way in the 60 minutes ahead and change, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone, dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Our chat room is open for you as well. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook timelines. Just click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk or Speaker screen. Follow the instructions, other people can be live with you. Eric Gotts from Nashville and Minnow join us live after these news notes. New Year's Rockin' Eve host Ryan Seacrest can look ahead to a new pair of partners when he welcomes in 2020 Live on ABC. Lucy Hale, the former co-star of Pretty Little Liars on Freeform, will co-host with Seacrest in Times Square. Hale's New Year's Eve gig is en route to her debut as Katie Keene on the CW series of the same name, premiering February 6th. Emmy-winning co-star Billy Porter will be stationed in New Orleans for a countdown segment there, and pop scene star Ciara returns as host of the performance segments from Los Angeles. Rockin' Eve Edition 48 begins at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, resumes at 11:30 p.m. Eastern after a half-hour local news pause. 2 seasons and done for Strange Angel, the CBS All Access Stranger Fiction drama series. CBS gave no thoughts on what sparked the cancellation. The series was based on a nonfiction biography of rocket scientist John Parsons, played by Jack Rayner. Now some quickies. Telemundo's long-awaited Spanish version of game show The Wall, created in part by LeBron James, begins New Year's night. Barbara Turner-McGill will host the early weeknight series, which will run Mondays through Fridays. The New Pope, HBO sequel to the Young Pope miniseries 2 years ago, starts on January 13th. Fox will bring a Nick Cannon-hosted viral video special to its holiday season schedule December 16th. World to Presents, the smart TV streaming showcase of overseas drama series, has formed Eagle Eye Drama. The goal of this new venture, produce and market English language adaptations of overseas dramas. And IFC will kick off Year of the Rabbit, the network's first 2020 scripted series, February 19th. Matt Berry stars and serves as a co-writer. And that is news notes for today. As we said, more and more television services are coming to you via smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And 2 of them launched in the past week. We're going to focus on both of them over the course of the next 60 minutes and change. We will have one of the key people at BN Sports joining us next half hour to talk about BN Sports Extra. But first, joining us live from Music Scene USA, Nashville, Tennessee, the co-founder and chief executive of Minnow, Eric Gotts. Eric, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Simon. Thanks for having us on.
It is a pleasure. Tell us how this service came to be.
Yeah, so I my background, I started my career in the Navy, but rapidly found myself at Amazon in the early days, a little after they went public, and got a lot of experience in digital media technology and e-commerce, and then moved to Nashville and ended up working on a couple of projects in the faith-based space. And as I was working on those projects, trying to serve, you know, Christian families, we recognized that there was an opportunity where historically that audience had been very well served by the direct-to-home video or the DVD market, that as the world was switching to streaming, it was becoming increasingly difficult for Christian families to be able to have access to the type of programming that they wanted in the medium that they wanted it. And so what we recognized is we really had a choice. We could either turn into essentially a marketing agency driving customers to other platforms, or we could create our own platform. And in the process, what we recognized is a lot of the major platforms just aren't going to carry faith-based programming. And so in the process, we recognized it just makes a lot more sense for us to launch our own platform. And as we talked to Christian parents and understood kind of what their issues were, we recognized that there was a sizable enough audience to be able to build a good business. And at the same time, it was highly likely that there weren't going to be a lot of platforms serving this audience, and that it made a lot of sense for us to be able to provide a place to make that type of programming accessible, really creating a distribution model, essentially it's a distribution model that's in the marketplace, but really providing a distribution model for this type of programming in particular.
Mm-hmm. Before we get to what Minnow is all about, because you raised the subject, it's interesting that we are seeing, because of smart TV sets and smart devices, more than ever, children's programming all over the place. Netflix is producing more. Amazon has won a lot of awards for what they've done. And, of course, you were there early on. We're now seeing CBS All Access introduce children's programming. Other networks are doing the same thing. For people who are trying to put faith-based-oriented kid-based shows on, whether live action or animated, what is the problem that they're having in terms of getting clearance by different services?
So the real difficulty, and again, I think it's a combination of two things. One is there's programming in the marketplace that the major platforms just aren't interested in licensing. When they look at sort of their licensing budget, they just don't feel like it makes sense to invest in that type of programming. The second is when you look at the original programming budget in the kids space, you know, my calculation would be anywhere between $3 to $4 billion annually when you look at sort of across the platforms. And kids programming is incredibly important in reducing churn. So, you know, one of the number one problems all the platforms are looking at addressing is churn. Kids programming is really about daily usage. And so the major platforms love children's programming in regards to serving families. Key issue with original programming is there are a lot of creatives that are working both in New York and LA that have a lot of experience in the children's programming market, have shows that they would like to see get funded that are shows that are really for this faith-based or values-focused audience. And the major platforms just aren't interested in funding them. That's not an audience they're really interested in serving, even though, you know, essentially there's the equivalent of like a Super Bowl every Sunday at church. There are about 100 million Americans go to church every week, and we estimate there are about 16 to 20 million families that have kids ages, you know, preschool to fifth grade that are attending church weekly that really don't feel like their programming needs are being met very well by these platforms.
So with Minnow, which started last week, what kind of children's programming do you have? I know you have VeggieTales in a big way, but what are some, and along with that, what are some of the other children's attractions that you have?
Yeah, so we've got over 2,500 episodes of shows. We have only 2,500 episodes on the platform right now. VeggieTales is probably our biggest show and most well-known show, and we've got the largest collection of classic VeggieTales of any platform in the world. We also have some shows that, you know, I suspect many of your listeners may not be familiar with, only because this is within the faith-based marketplace, but there are shows like Friends and Heroes, Allegories, Ryan DeFrades, Micah Superblog. There's a show about the Bible called Buck Denver Asks What's in the Bible that I actually had the opportunity to help produce. And so we've got a number of shows that basically sort of comprise the catalog, but I'd say those are some of our most viewed shows that we have today.
Is it all animation or do you have any live action?
Yeah, so we have a combination of live action and animation. I'd say that our catalog probably skews more to animation right now because I think of the popularity of VeggieTales and what a lot of people took from that as lessons learned. But we actually have a decent amount of live action, but most of it's 2D animation.
And then on the flip side, you also have a number of different programs and features aimed at parents.
Yes. And so when we did a lot of customer research before we launched Minnow, we went out and asked parents kind of what was their number one issue as a Christian parent. And it was pretty clear there's an entertainment component. Hey, I'm having a hard time finding programming that reflects my values and the things that I care about, but I'm also just struggling in what does it mean to be a parent? And how can I raise my child in today's environment that is really complex for any parent, much less Christian parents. And so as we talk to parents, we recognize we really need to build out resources for them. And so that really led to kind of two major initiatives. One was actually building out a children's line of books. So we just finished up our first year of children's books, where we just released probably the best-selling book that we've ever launched, which is called The Laugh and Learn Bible for Kids. That was written by the creator of VeggieTales, Phil Vischer. And then we also launched a parent resource site where we've curated expert voices to be able to provide, you know, blog posts and, you know, almost like cliff notes for parenting around some of the most pressing issues for Christian families today.
We're speaking with Eric Dotz. He joins us live from Nashville, Tennessee this half hour on Tomorrow Be Told Live, and he is the co-founder and chief executive officer of Minnow, one of the new services available now to you on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And we're happy he's with us on this pre-Thanksgiving Day edition of Tomorrow Be Televised on this wonderful Tuesday of 2019 here in New York, 60 degrees at the top of the hour. Simon Abel with you live from the Big Apple, half the year long for the ride. If you have a question or comment for Eric, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. We have a person already in the room, so use the phone of the room. Either way, we will get to you. We have another episode coming your way this week on pre-Thanksgiving Day, Wednesday, and we will have as our guest back with us for, I think, fourth or fifth annual time with us around this time of year, Tracy Swedlow, the founder of Interactive TV Today, the popular newsletter covering interactive TV, and she's also the originator of the popular semi-annual TV of Tomorrow show that's on every summer in Silicon Valley and every December here in New York. And they'll be going to a brand new location here in the Big Apple 1 week from tomorrow. We'll talk to Tracy about where she sees interactive TV going, the smart TV set device world, and a whole lot more. Tracy Swedlow live with us tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. You're 1 week in right now. Eric, what's been the reaction to Minnow so far?
Yeah, we've seen really good reactions. So we've had, you know, we just launched, but we've been in testing for a couple of months. And so we've got tens of thousands of subscribers that have come on board. And then we've also seen subscribers from around the globe. So we've got subscribers in over 40 countries today. And so we have worldwide rights for most of the programming that we have. And so we've seen that we've really kind of we've launched a platform that's really touching on a nerve for most parents where they're really looking for something as an alternative to the major platforms that they're using today.
And how are you doing with smart TV set distribution and smart TV devices? Where are you on right now?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So today we obviously have our web application, but we are on Apple TV, Droid TV, Kindle Fire TV, and we're on Roku. And we're looking at building out apps for Samsung as well as for Xbox and PlayStation, but those are sort of on the roadmap. And then we're available on mobile devices on Apple mobile devices, Google, Samsung devices, and then anything with Kindle Fire today.
Was it very easy or very hard to get the distribution?
I think distribution in regards to actually getting apps launched granted, it's a little bit challenging because you've got to get approval. And then also as a children's app, there are certain children compliance that you have to be aware of. But getting on those platforms, I don't think is overly difficult. I think the key issue is once you're on those platforms, then what do you do to build awareness? Because most of these platforms aren't necessarily limiting people from providing apps. The key issue is how do you break through to get people to actually know that you're there?
Mm-hmm. And there is an interactive element to your service, and that's called the Minnow Store, where you have some merchandise available for sale that people, I'm sure, can use their smart TV sets and devices to buy.
Yes. So we've got the Minnow Store, where basically you can find all our children's books and a bunch of other resources that we've developed specifically for Christian families. And, you know, one of the reasons we did that was as we talked to families, they were really looking for a full answer or a full solution that wasn't just media. They really wanted the ability to interact with their kids. And so we've provided activity books and then also books for them to be able to read together. On the parent site, we actually provide, you know, activities and worksheets and then, you know, things to do as a family over the holidays or on those rainy days where, you know, you want to get you've had too much screen time and you want to get away from it.
Mm-hmm. By the way, if anybody out there is taking Minnow, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or you in our chat room, Simon Apple 04man. We'll also offer the same opportunity to those of you that may have picked up BN Sports Extra since that launch on smart TV sets and devices last week. We'll do that in our second half hour. Well, what's been the audience reaction to Minnow so far?
Yeah, so it's been really positive. I think a lot of parents, and again, you know, with our target audience of Christian families, they've been really excited. So most of them, when we've interacted with them about, you know, their experience pre-Minnow, is they actually felt a level of compromise. They either had to take their children off, you know, media or not let them watch shows, or they had to expose their children or have the probability of their children being exposed to shows that they didn't necessarily care about or felt like compromised with their trying to do as a parent. And so when they come on the Minnow, and we actually have a number of subscribers who've actually canceled their services, other services because of Minnow, solving that programming need that they needed in their family. And so what they love about it is it's guilt-free screen time or no compromise screen time where, you know, they know that they can trust the programming that we have. We review all the programming actually as a staff before we put it up to make sure that it meets certain bars for our families, and they know that they can trust us in what we're putting out there. And so I think for most parents, they, you know, there's a sense of vigilance all the time of making sure that what my children are getting exposed to is okay. And we really built Minnow with the idea of solving that problem for parents.
Also, the parents, in addition to the opportunity to buy merchandise and also watch their kids watching a lot of the original content for them, is that there's also some special features, including a blog. How often is the blog updated, and what kind of topics do you cover?
Yeah, so we put out content on the blog almost on a daily basis. And so on our blog, you'll find issues of like, you know, how to think about Halloween, how to think about Christmas, activities to do on major holidays, how to help children who are dealing with anxiety, how to help children who are dealing with bullies at school, how to, you know, advice for parents with children with disabilities, or how to create community for children with disabilities, how to think about adoption. And so really, you know, the whole host of issues that parents are dealing with today, we try to address that both from, you know, meeting their spiritual and emotional needs, but then also just practically, what can they do to create memories together through activities, or what we can do to make holidays more meaningful. You know, example is we just released an Advent reading plan for families to be able to have an idea of what they could read with their children through the Advent season to make that more special.
Mm-hmm. Have you reached out to any organizations dealing with the disabled to expand their opportunity to see your service or to perhaps collaborate on some projects?
Not yet. It's actually a priority from our board, and it's something we spoke about early on. And so being an early stage company, the whole focus right now has just been to get out. But that's definitely something we're very concerned about and feel a sense of obligation to address.
By the way, I want to welcome Purple Pill to our chat room. If you're still there, give us a call or use the room. Put your thoughts in there. Our room, of course, is Simon Apple 04 by name, or give us a call, 646-652-2906. We have Eric Goff from Minnow, the new programming service available on smart TV sets and smart devices, with us from Nashville, Tennessee this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Apple, I'm with you live from New York, where it's 60 degrees and very sunny, and a bit on the cloudy side, too, at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for our guest, make the phone ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Coming up, by the way, our next half hour edition to our guest from BN Sports Extra, live from Miami, we'll have our classic trivia question of the week. We did get an answer, but it was from a former champion. So that question is still in play. We'll let you know what it is. So get your pencil and paper ready. You could win the Monty Python FAQ book from Love Books. Great holiday season gift for you or someone you love if you've got the correct answer to our current question. Have you heard from production companies that would like to produce original content for you? And if not, whether you have or not, are there any plans to commission original shows?
Yeah, it's actually been very interesting, Simon. So as we've been building up from Minnow, we've been reaching out and developing a community of producers and production companies. And what's interesting is a lot of these production companies are actually organizations that are supporting mainstream children's networks. They've got people of faith that are on the leadership team or are writers or executive producers who are very interested in doing – they've got ideas for programming, but they know that it's probably programming that would only be, you know – well, faith-based families would be the target audience for that programming. But they also know that they can't get that programming funded anywhere from mainstream production companies. And so we've got a number of credentialed creatives that have approached us with ideas. We're actually sorting through those right now with the expectation to begin funding original content within the next 6 to 12 months. And so, and we really believe that's a huge initiative for us because, you know, if you look at what we have today, we have a good catalog. I wouldn't call it a great catalog of content for those families. And we really want to make investments to see what we can do to improve the quality and the breadth of that catalog for Christian families today.
Has anybody thought about using crowdfunding or equity crowdfunding to get the money for some of these programs to get created and get on the air?
Yeah, it's interesting, Simon. There's a lot of innovation in the fintech or finance technology realm where you can use crowdfunding. There's everything from, you know, a Kickstarter type application to if you look at, you know, the Jumpstart Our Jobs Act of 2012. There are a variety of ways, like so going out with a Reg A type offering. We're actually looking at all of those, and we're also even looking at nonprofit where we've talked to a number of investors who'd say, hey, I'm not really interested in looking for a return on this type of programming. I'd really like to just be able to make a donation. And so we're looking at actually all those right now. And my hunch is we may experiment just to see how they play out, because it's interesting. Christian families care deeply. I know there are a couple of platforms that appeal to faith-oriented families, and they've actually been very successful at crowdfunding. And so it's definitely something we're looking at. But, you know, the exciting thing is the technology and the governmental regulations around democratizing raising capital for this type of programming. I mean, I feel like we're making real strides in the U.S. around that, so that actually can become a viable option for us.
And you have organizations like Kickstarter, Seed and Spark, which is very heavy into film and television, Indiegogo, you have equity crowdfunding, you also have blockchain, which is a possibility, organizations like Breaker and others that are trying to create original television shows using blockchain technology and as well as cryptocurrency to perhaps get shows on the air. Is there a possibility of, let's say, a number of production companies like Imagine Television doing this, creating a sort of special venture where you get creators to create shows for you or create pilots for you to sort of fund, if not internships, a special contest where people can submit pilots and then get support from mentors who are in the field of television to turn their pilot ideas into series?
Yeah, I have a real passion for that, of what can we do to create we want to create sort of a development pipeline where we can help this next generation of creatives get the type of coaching and get the type of support that they need to be successful. And so we're looking at what we can do to reach out to colleges. So there are a number of colleges with, you know, great TV and broadcast programs, and a lot of those folks are looking at what can I do post-college. And we're looking at, hey, could we create almost, you know, a brand development kit for Minnow where they have some key elements where they can actually take that and start developing their own programming. Also looking at what can we do to bring seasoned creatives and seasoned writers, seasoned executives to bear with, you know, a younger talent that's looking to get a break. And, you know, within the Christian market, there's VeggieTales. I always say there's kind of VeggieTales and everything else. There really hasn't been that many breakouts out shows after VeggieTales. And so we feel like there's a real need to invest in content. But, you know, for me as CEO of Menno and on the business side, I really look at what can we do to create the ecosystem and almost create a mini industry where we can see creatives get the resources that they need to be able to become as good as they are capable of becoming.
Yeah, what we're talking about is sort of the episodic lab approach that, for example, organizations like Sundance has been doing for a number of years. Rideback's the production company that was formed a year or so ago that's also doing an episodic lab. The Blacklist, the organization that publishes screenplays and TV pilots, is working with the Women in Film in Los Angeles to try to develop TV shows as well as original films. Things like that could maybe come into play. By the way, one other thing before we go, what's your thing about interactive television and what role could that play now that it looks like we're in this era of interactive TV where people can innovate content, where you can choose your own pathway in a program, you can order products and services, you can call up all sorts of information, and so on and so forth. Where do you see interactive TV going as part of your service? And also, one other thing, I know your service is commercial free. Any possibility that an advertiser, whether it's faith-based or whatever, can be part of your service?
Yeah, so in the first question and kind of what role does interactive services play, I would say right now we're just out of the gate. I have not spent a lot of time thinking through the interactive component. My undergraduate degree is in computer science, and where I spent some time working on artificial intelligence. And as I look at sort of what's possible with programming and interactive programming, you see really this kind of nice meld of potentially some of the best of the gaming world with, the best of, TV and broadcast. And so I think there's a lot of opportunity there. But I'd say, it's a little early in the maturation of our business to be investing a lot of time thinking about that. On the advertising side, I think it's interesting. I think as we look at how we are moving forward today, we've really focused on being a subscription platform that's ad-free. But, I've had some customers ask, hey, would you be open to being a platform that, provided either some level of where advertisers had some level of underwriting or there was the ability to advertise? I think that's an interesting model potentially, especially when you think about areas where, as we think about global opportunities, there's also the issue of, how do you potentially make Menno available as broadly as possible? And it may make sense to actually do some type of underwriting model in those areas. The hard part about advertising model, as you well know, is you really need to have volume. You need to have a mass audience to be able to serve those advertisers well and to make sure that they can get a good return on their investment. And so, those are some of the things that we're thinking about. I definitely think it's an interesting opportunity. And we have had some customers write in saying, hey, they'd be open to that. But for most of our customers, they're really looking at, hey, can this be an ad-free environment for my child? And that's really the priority for us today.
And the priority for this venture, which is called Menno, is serving both kids and their parents. And you can find Menno now in its second week on smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the place, and others will get it ASAP. For more details about the service online, which, by the way, is, I believe, what, $6.95 or $7 a month and $70 per year?
Yes, that's correct.
And if you want more details about the service, the excerpts, and maybe even subscribe, here's where you go online, www.gominno.com. It's www.gominno.com. Eric Dock, Chief Executive and Co-Founder of Menno, thank you again for joining us. Good luck with the service, you, your team as well. And for everybody here, have a wonderful Thanksgiving and a great holiday season.
You too, Simon. Thanks for having us on today.
You're very, very welcome. Take care. Let's stay in touch. All the best. Eric Goss from Menno, joined us live from Nashville, Music City, USA, Tennessee. More Tomorrow to Televise coming away, but first some fine words from folks at Audible.com. Are you still waiting for a great holiday gift, one that sparks people's imagination? Well, got one for you. It's a trial run with Audible.com. 1 month, it's just out three great audiobooks, including an interesting book about three women, remarkable women, and that's why the book is called Three Women by Lisa Taddeo. And I think you'll find it quite interesting and very inspiring for this holiday season. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and inspiration as well, too. Over 180,000 titles to choose from. You listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker 9 on Radio. So sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get not one, not two, three free audiobooks, two of them, the growing catalog of Audible Originals. That's everything from original productions to the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater across the country, and great one-woman and one-man shows. And remember, you get a one-month trial of the service, and you also have great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And if you decide to become an Audible member for a limited time only, your price, $14.95 a month. You save as you get to 2020. So hear for yourself or for someone you love this holiday season how Audible.com can transform the way or they can hear the world. AudibleTrial.com/televised. Coming up in the next half hour, we will live to Miami for the latest from BN Sports, that growing empire that has a new smart TV service, BN Sports Extra. We'll meet one of the key executives at that venture, Antonio Brasano, plus our classic trivia question of the week. And we say goodbye to a very popular happy warrior in the world of television, Frank Biondi. All that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. Listen to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradioandspeaker.com. Together, more than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Tonight on Take Two Radio, it's a review of the soap opera world this year. What happened? What was big on Days of Our Lives, The Bold and the Beautiful, Young and the Restless, General Hospital? Check it all out and more on Take 2 Radio today, 7 p.m. Eastern. That's 4 p.m. Pacific only on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back tomorrow. Tomorrow we televise on this day before the day before Thanksgiving, this Tuesday of November 2019. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted to have you aboard. And we have more coming your way in this half hour and change ahead. And, of course, we invite you to be part of the program. So pick up the phone and dial in, 646-652-2906. Or visit our chat room, Simon Apple 049. Coming up later this half hour, in addition to our tribute to Frank Biondi, we'll have our classic trivia question of the week. Get those pencils and papers out. You could be our latest trivia winner if you know the answer to our latest question. The BN Sports empire continues to grow. They did last week with a brand new service called Sports Extra. That's X-T-R-A. And to talk about it from B Sports headquarters in Miami, Florida, is their USW Managing Director, Antonio Brasano. Antonio, welcome in, and of course, happy Thanksgiving to you and your crew.
Hi, Simon. Thank you so much for having us, and happy Thanksgiving to all the listeners.
It's a pleasure. Antonio, what provoked BN Sports to bring out a new service, as you say, Extra?
BN Sports Extra is a new service that we just launched on Roku TV, and the idea is to bring all the programming that we have that it's not compromised on our current distribution deals for the premium services, and make it available to the most of people out there that is willing and wishing to look at live sports.
For those who don't know about BN Sports, this is a very fast-growing empire you've got, not just in the United States, but all around the world. What separates BN from what ESPN is doing, from what NBC Sports Network is doing, CBS Sports as well, others, and the single sports networks like the Golf Channel, Tennis Channel, and so on? What makes it stand out?
Well, I wouldn't call us, first of all, I wouldn't call us an empire. I mean, we're just an operation that is looking to utilize sports to get good messages across different countries and across different platforms. And I believe that what makes us different than any of the players that you just mentioned is that we are focused, obviously we have a presence in the U.S. and we have a presence in some other markets, but we have a great presence in everything that's the Middle East and north of Africa and in Asia Pacific. And I believe that the other main differentiation from any of those platforms is that we have many different sports, and we are currently considered the biggest right holders in the sports world. But we used soccer as our main coverage over any other sports worldwide.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the key attractions? First of all, what's been the reaction to Sports Extra so far? You've been on for now more than a week. What's been the reaction from the public to your service?
Well, Sam, I think it's still too early to talk about a reaction. I think that in general, in terms of people from trade and the people that have been exposed to the product, the reaction is very positive because, like I said, in general, mostly live sports and good quality sports are have always been part of a premium offering and are in some sort of tier. As you know, here in the U.S., we have the sports tiers in every major operator. So I think that the first reaction is that people is happy that we're making sports available widely and without having to pay. The quality of the channel, I think, is very good so far. Obviously, we just launched, like I said, about a week and a half ago. So we still have a lot of room to grow and to perfect and to improve. But I will say overall it's positive, but I think it's still too early to make a balance on what the receivement from people has been.
And you know, from what's been showcased in the press so far about this, this is an effort to try to do a number of different things and also a way to do some things that you don't do currently on beIN Sports, where that serves available on cable and satellite. For example, doing more original studio-based shows, doing highlight shows, devoting more time to adventure sports, and maybe some sports that are not only not given a lot of time compared to soccer on your primary services, but also, for example, a sport like handball that's been growing actually for quite a while, but still doesn't get a lot of no attention, as far as I know, on ESPN or Fox Sports 1 or some of the other sports services. It seems that there's an opportunity here to combine several different avenues of sports in the same service.
Yes, you're correct on everything you have just said. I mean, obviously, as a beginning, we're using the baseline. I mean, the truth of the matter is we have so many live sports and live soccer in our current deals for different leagues that we carry, that having just our two linear networks, one in Spanish, one in English, on the different platforms, there's a lot of times where matches are on the same time, and we are not able to broadcast other than on our platform, our Connect platform, which is our digital streaming platform. So beIN Sports Extra, first and foremost, is an effort to make all of that sports, those sports that we couldn't show live and that they will all only go on delay basis or not go at all on the main two channels, widely available to the public. And then, as you said, we also want to provide a platform to sports that traditionally have not been paid attention in traditional sports media here in the U.S. And you mentioned one that is a very good example, which is handball. beIN Sports as an organization, it's also the right holder in charge of distributing and making handball available in all the territories that we cover. So that's a way for us to give a space to properties like handball that because of our distribution contracts or because of the times of our major soccer events don't have a space in our current linear channels. So beIN Sports Extra is definitely a channel to present those sports in addition to all those additional soccer games that we have that we weren't able to show. But more importantly, I think that, like I said before, I mean, we want people to have access to live sports. I mean, there's, as far as I know, there's no other live sports-based AVOD streaming service out there so far. So I think that just because of that, we're different than any of the competitors that you mentioned before. And second of all, obviously, we have a lot of challenges that you also mentioned before. I mean, it's no secret to the industry or to the end user that we have distribution issues with Comcast and with AT&T. And by launching beIN Sports, we want to provide a solution to some of the leagues and to some of the viewers to get access to that content that it's elusive because it's not available on their platforms. And at the same time, and it's no secret either, that we want to promote that service and direct people towards the premium offering that we have.
Bein Sports Extra launched a week and a half ago on the Roku channel, which is, of course, available on their smart TV service. And we'll find out if other smart TV sets and devices are going to be joining in the fray anytime soon, and the rest of the other plumbing plans that this service has in mind. We're talking with Antonio Brasseno. He is the U.S. Deputy Managing Director of the parent organization, Bein Sports. Joins us live from Miami, Florida this half hour. On tomorrow, we'll be televised. Simon Abbott with you live from New York, where it is 60 degrees at the top of the hour. Love to hear from you. Make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room. Simon Apple will do it for me. And as we did in our last half hour with Minnow, if you're currently seeing BC Sports Extra, we'd love to hear from you. Let's get your thoughts. So use our phone line or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Second of three back-to-back-to-back episodes we're doing this Thanksgiving week 2019. We'll be back tomorrow at the same hour. And joining us will be our very good friend, the founder of Interactive TV Day, the popular newsletter covering interactive television, and the semi-annual TV of Tomorrow show that takes place every June in Silicon Valley and every December here in New York. Our good friend Tracy Swidlow will be with us. Now that Interactive TV is finally on the map in a number of different ways, how long will it stay on the map or expand on the map? I think we'll have some good thoughts from Tracy when she comes by tomorrow, and we invite you to be part of the conversation, too. So get interactive with us about Interactive TV tomorrow, 3:30 Eastern Pacific with Tracy Swidlow and yours truly right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. How soon will this extra go on other smart TV sets and devices? Do we have any sense whether Samsung or LG or Vizio or Amazon Fire TV, et cetera, will take the service?
Absolutely. That's a great question, Simon. I mean, obviously, the idea for Bein Sports Extra is to be distributed as widely as possible and in any possible platform. I mean, we don't want to have any limitations as to where the platform, as to where the programming can be offered. In terms of the pipeline, to be more specific, you actually mentioned some of our new distribution deals that are currently in the works or being finalized. And those include Samsung TV. We expect to finalize 2019 by being launched also on Samsung TV, on Sumo, which, as you know, provides LG and some other brands for their smart TV application, and absolutely Amazon Fire and our own app and apps for Xbox and PlayStation and every other possible distribution means are in the pipeline as well. But right now, we are very concrete on finalizing Samsung TV, Pluto, and Sumo TV.
Talk about the emphasis with Extra on women's soccer. I understand that there are some interesting soccer situations, women's soccer teams or soccer leagues that are getting exposure on Extra as you go forward.
Well, it's interesting you bring that. In reality, I mean, what we're thinking more is, I mean, we think that women's soccer in this country has a tremendous following. I mean, obviously the U.S. is being wildly successful in the World Cups of women, and it's been the champion, undisputed champion in the last edition. So, but on the other hand, there's a big controversy about how different women's soccer and men's soccer is treated, both in terms of compensation, but I think that also in terms of media attention and being having, like I like to say, we want to be the voice of women's soccer in the U.S. and not necessarily just by Bein Sports Extra. We got to remember that Bein Sports Extra is just a way of amplifying our premium signals. But in reality, what we've been talking about is that we want our general market signal of Bein Sports, of the main channel, main linear, let's call it the linear channel, to be more focused on providing that voice and to having programming and not just the league, hopefully the league, but we don't have the league yet. But if we don't have the league, at least to be with our shows and with our presence and with the talent, to give a voice to women that practice soccer in America, which we know are thousands and thousands of them, and we don't feel that any of the other major networks really provide a clear path for them to express and to showcase their abilities and their presence in the sports world. And also, I forgot before when we're talking about distribution, and this is important. We're not only going to be just a streaming digital channel, but we are also working on a deal with Aztec America, or the parent company of Aztec America, which is AC2, to actually launch in 15 free-to-air markets in high power and low end power, basically multicast stations in 15 different DMAs. So not only will be Bein Sports Extra available as a digital outlet, but we're also going to be available on regular broadcast TV.
And then a multicast channel. Staying with
right.
U.S. Soccer League, NLS, of course, Major League Soccer, gets a lot of attention now on various networks. And there are two other soccer leagues, United Soccer League and North American Soccer League, that don't. It was very interesting, by the way, that ESPN ran the finals of the U.S. Soccer League Championship a couple weeks ago. No publicity whatsoever. It was on Sunday night opposite Sunday Football on NBC. And it was very interesting that one of the teams had David Villa, who was the star of New York City Football Club, NYCFC, who, of course, has been a major contender of Major League Soccer the last 2 years. Are there any plans to take on some of these other soccer leagues that don't get enough coverage elsewhere, like North American Soccer League and USL?
Look, I mean, we are also looking for new programming that allows to spend our presence and to, like I said, like you said, give a place to properties that don't have too much space on traditional sports outlets, because I mean I don't want by any way diminish the works of ESPN or CBS or NBC Sports. I think it's just a matter of clutter and space, right? I mean, they have the outlets they have, and they have a lot of sporting properties that are super important and super relevant for their audience and for their sponsors, and they have to give priority to those the same way I have to give priority to my Real Madrid's and Barcelona's in the linear channels. But we'll definitely will love, since we have the space and the willingness to promote and give a place for those leagues to be on our platform. But as you mentioned, I mean, some of those leagues have already deals with some of the networks that we have mentioned. So the only way for us to get access to that will be to sublicense through them. And it's something that we have tried and that we keep trying, but sometimes it's not as easy as it might seem from the outside.
And so we're going to get to the studio shows in a moment. What kind of studio shows? You have one con already on called Sports First. We'll get to that and what other shows in that arena you want to do. But I mentioned earlier that one of the things about Extra is it's an opportunity to showcase some of the sports that don't get a lot of TV coverage. Like I mentioned handball, which I've seen in the Olympics under the team handball moniker. It's a terrific sport. Are there any other sports that you are also going to attempt to show that fit that similar criteria? And are there any unique sports leagues, U.S. sports leagues, that you may show along the way? For example, one league that came to light this year was Major League Rugby, thanks to Sportsnet New York, SNY, here in the Big Apple, which this year for the first time had a New York professional rugby team, a men's rugby team. So back to the question, what are the sports that would you like to showcase like handball, and what about other professional sports leagues that cover those sports?
Look, like I said before, I mean, this is a very, very young project, and right now I think that we are ourselves finding out which are the paths towards success, right? And I mean, those sports that you have mentioned have always been in the pipeline of properties that we like to explore, because I mean, we have always said from the beginning that our role as an independent news sports channel is to actually find out those properties that are growing in the U.S. that are relevant to this particular market. Because one of the issues that we have had and probably we have been responsible in some shape, some sort of form of that perception, is that to be perceived too much of as an international sports network because of the properties that we showcase. But rugby, and other sports that are growing in the U.S. have always been in our sight, and we are definitely interested in talking to any of those leagues that are looking for an outlet that would like to be part of our programming, for not just being Sports Extra, but also being sports in general. So far, at this point, I mean, we are working with what we have. We have our acquisition team and programming team looking at opportunities like the ones you mentioned, and we are happy to have those discussions with any of them. As I said, I mean, we are just launching this project, and we have to shape it in a way that is providing the best possible service out there for the viewers.
Now, you're also going to be doing some original programming, and the first in that lineup is called Sports Burst, which I understand you are adapting, or that you've originally started on Facebook and now is coming on your network. What's that program all about?
Yes, I mean, basically we've been producing a lot of what we call digital first or digital only shows, where we are giving space to younger talent and younger ideas that are not as traditional as the programs that you see, like in our regular linear networks, like The Extra or like The Locker Room. Sports Boards, one of those franchises. We have another one called Transfer Tracker. And we have about, I believe, another six shows in the pipeline that are either being produced right now for digital and that will be adapted for being Sports Extra. And the idea is to obviously increase the presence of original programming in the network as we grow as well in presence and advertising revenues.
Mm-hmm. Since you just mentioned advertising, what's been the interest among advertisers in sponsoring programming on Sports Extra?
Well, right now, I mean, the whole strategy for the channel is being based on selling programmatic ads on the streaming service, and mostly direct response type of ads for when we launch on the multi-cast service. Right now, I mean, we have rep firms that are working on those, but I wouldn't say that there's a specific interest for particular advertisers. I mean, advertising industry in general is being very tough in these past 2 years. I mean, the channel is not going to be Nielsen rated to start with, so obviously that leaves out, as you know, a big chunk of those potential advertisers. But I can tell you that from what I've seen by watching the channel on the Roku, I mean, I've seen a lot of those programmatic advertisers taking up on the inventory and filling up the ad slots. So we are very pleased with the results so far.
The primary service, beIN Sports, also has a Spanish language version, beIN Sports Español. Are there any plans to do a Spanish language version of Sports Extra?
Not at the moment. I mean, obviously, depending on the capability. I mean, we remember that both beIN Sports and beIN Sports in Español offer SAP capability from the moment we launched 7 years ago, because we have been acquiring all of our sporting rights in available in several languages, but definitely in English and in Spanish. Right now, I mean, based on the capabilities of the streaming platforms that are going to distribute or that are distributing or will distribute beIN Sports Extra, we are happy to offer that same capability when available. But as an initial stage, there's no plans to launch a beIN Sports Extra in Espanol. But obviously, if there's a demand for it, it wouldn't be something that we will not consider. In fact, it's something that we can very easily adapt and launch in a short period of time.
And so in our remaining minutes, I'll ask the same question or get into the same area that I did with Eric from Minnow. Do you see, as you go forward, the opportunity for Sports Extra to go interactive, where the viewers can choose which way an event goes, or choose the camera angle on the event, or order products and services or if you have more advertising, find out more about the product or other things that they can do with their, particularly if they're watching it on smart TV sets where they can control the set with their voice. Where do you see interactivity going? And by the way, do you see sports betting at some point being a part of the service?
What was your last question? Sorry, Simon, I lost that.
What do you see? Do you see at some point introducing interactive elements to Sports Extra?
You said something
betting.
At the very end of
sports
that.
Betting on the service. Yeah.
Oh, sports betting. Okay. Look, in terms of interactivity, I mean, my answer is we would love to have the capability and ability to do so. I mean, again, I am not quite familiar with all the technical capabilities of the different streaming platforms where we are planning to launch the network on. But definitely as part of our own app and as part of when we're talking about our own environment or in any environment where the technical allow us to do so, absolutely we believe that having that interactivity, especially in terms of sports, with people to be able to interact and to chat with other people watching the sports and communicate and let us know in terms of programming what they would like to see or which talent they prefer and all that sort of feedback from the public. I mean, it's something that we'll absolutely look into adding at a later stage, but it's something that is not available as of right now.
Be Sports Extra, that's XTRA, now available on the Roku channel, soon on other smart TV sets and smart devices, and maybe down the road it'll also be available on the multicast channel through Azteca America and its parent TV Azteca. For more details about the service online, here's where you go, beinsportsextra.com. That's B-E-I-N, sports, X-T-R-A, extra.com. Be Sports Extra, now available on the Roku channel, soon on other smart TV sets and other smart devices, and maybe down the road also on multicast. Antonio Rosetto, the USW Managing Director of VN Sports, the parent of that service. Thank you so much for coming on. Good luck with this service. Love to stay in touch and how it goes. And from all of us, to all of you and your crew, a very, very happy holiday season to you.
Thank you so much, Simon. We really appreciate you giving us this opportunity to let your listeners know more about the service and about the company, and we look forward for people to join Bein Sports Extra in any platform they can, and look forward to have a chat with you further down the line when we are a little bit more mature as a network.
Invitation accepted, Antonio. It's been our pleasure. Take care. Enjoy the week, rest of the week, and a great Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and all your listeners. Thank you so much, Simon.
You're welcome, Antonio. Take care. And Terry Rosetto from BN Sports joining us live from Miami, Florida. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. And if you are first with the correct answer, you can win the book Monty Python FAQ, All That's Left to Know About Spam, Grail, Spam, Nudging, Braces, and Spam, written by the trio of Chris Passanti, Brian Cove, and Jeff Massey, available at Applause Books. By the way, earlier today, we did get the answer to the question, but it was from a person who previously won, Hope Cochran. So, Hope, thank you for doing that. And, by the way, she was a former guest on this show a while back. So we want to make sure we have somebody else who hasn't won yet the opportunity to win. So get ready, because here's your chance. Here is the question Hope Cochran got successfully. It's a two-parter. Name TV's first Zorro and the creator of that very popular character with the Z. That's name TV's first Zorro and name the person who created the character of Zorro. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from, so if you win, we can get the book out to you ASAP. And we will try in the next few minutes, because we are going to go overtime today, to do the question again. If not, we'll post tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, play in. And all the very best. As mentioned a moment ago, we're going to go over a normal hour so that we can do the following segment because we want to make sure that we get this in before we leave you today. When you have reported on television, as a journalist over the course of nearly four decades. You meet all sorts of executives, entrepreneurs, officials, people that make an impact either on you or the field you cover. There's a name that people in the industry give for a certain kind of executive, somebody who relishes their role, who brings joy and passion to whatever they deal with, who gets along with just about anybody in their line of work, and most important, leaves the business they operate, the business they manage, better than when they came in. The term we like to use is happy warrior. And Frank Biondi fit that term to a T. After yesterday's episode, we learned that Biondi had died in Los Angeles earlier yesterday after several years of dealing with bladder cancer. He died in Los Angeles at his home. He was 74 years of age. And Frank Biondi, in his day, was perhaps the most influential happy warrior executive in television. He started his TV career in the early 1970s with the Children's Television Workshop, worked on Sesame Street, The Electric Company, and all sorts of other projects for that venture where shows went on PBS. And then in 1978, he got involved with an emerging venture that would change the course of where television is at, home box office. And it was during his run there, a run that involved programming and ultimately being president and chief executive of the network in 1983 to 1984, that HBO became the channel that got people involved in the world of television, the channel that became the trendsetter in television, not just the pay TV leader, but the network that broke ground again and again and again in everything from running movies commercial-free to sports television, specifically boxing, to beginning original made-for-TV movies for pay television and original series and comedy specials, including the annual Young Comedian Special and much, much more. And when he left HBO, he left it far better than when he started there. In 1987, Biondi became the president of Viacom. And during his run there, which ran nearly 9 years, ending in 1996, he was responsible for Viacom becoming one of the great forces in television, with MTV, Nickelodeon, Comedy Central, VH1, and other channels. And you could sense that the creativity that emerged from those Viacom networks, all of them, you got a hunch that Frank Biondi was behind it all. He left Viacom in 1996 for a 2-year run as chief executive of Universal Pictures. And then in 2001, with some of his former HBO buddies, he co-founded the Tennis Channel, which is now one of the top single sport networks. Between then and now, he remained in television as an investor in all sorts of services, both in television and technology, including Cablevision Systems, one of the largest cable operators in the United States, and under Altice USA, still serves a good chunk of the New York City metropolitan area. I had a number of times to meet with Frank Biondi when he was at HBO. And you always got the sense from him that he was genuinely interested in you as much as he was in the services you were asking about. He had a great curiosity of life. He really had a special flavor, a special way of being with people and being of service to them through his network. And he had a lot of fun. This was not somebody who was, you know, a starched shirt. He had fun. He wanted to make sure that you were really excited about his network and his programming, whether at HBO or Viacom. Since those HBO days, I didn't have any contact with him, or if I did have contact, it was basically with press releases. But I'll never forget having the chance to talk to him a time or two about where things were at with his network, and more importantly, where things were at with him. And he always felt as a happy warrior, very content with life, and willing to deal with the slings of fortune, if you will, and get better on the other side. And like I said, Beyond D left every single enterprise he managed and worked for better because he was there. And that's the great legacy he leaves television. I'm sure that he liked what was coming down the pike with smart TV sets and smart devices and interactive television and the rollout of ATSC 3.0 next year by broadcast stations. And if he wasn't spending most of the last years of his life dealing with bladder cancer, which really took a blow on him, he'd be in the thick of things. He always liked being in the thick of things. And I'll remember him the most for that. Along with the fact that he left you feeling good about where TV was going, where HBO or Viacom was going, or anything else he'd be involved with. And I promise you, in fact, guarantee you, that if you ask anybody who knew Frank Biondi at HBO, at Viacom, at Children's Television Workshop, at Universal Pictures, at the Tennis Channel, they will tell you that he really was the ultimate happy warrior. He enjoyed his job, the culture he worked with, and most importantly, the people and programmers that he dealt with and the content he brought to life there. And we are the beneficiaries for that. Thank you, Frank. Thank you for everything you accomplished in your life. Wish you could have stayed on the planet more. And I am very sure that wherever you are up there, you're creating, you're causing, and you are one happy warrior. Again, I want to thank both of our guests for being with us this Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and thank all of you for being with us as well. We have one more episode coming your way. That's Thanksgiving week 2019. It's tomorrow at our regular time, 3 p.m. Pacific. Our good friend Tracy Swedlow will join us. We got a good discussion about where interactive TV is at and where it's going. So join us and be part of the conversation. And one more time before we go, our classic trivia question of the week. Name TV's first Zorro and the creator of that famous character. And if you are first with the correct answer, you get Monty Python FAQ from Applause Books. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget to check out the podcast. They're ready, waiting for you at iTunes, Apple TV, the Speaker Podcast app, and, of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow We Televised in the search bar, click and you're there. And don't forget, some of our podcasts are now available at Media Village, the media leadership website at www.mediavillage.com. And while you're there, check out the wonderful podcast, Insider Insights, my good friend Evie Moss. Wonderful conversations about the future of TV and media overall. And don't forget to check out the great collection of columns coming your way from people like Jack Myers, Evie, Ed Martin, Juan Ayala, and a whole lot more. At www.mediavillage.com, your web home for media leadership. Remember, we love hearing from you. So what do you think about today's program? What's your thoughts about where TV is at, especially with all these services coming out through smart TV sets and smart TV devices to you? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. Remember, that's to get involved in our class trivia question. And also get involved in our a show to know. Is there a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention? Love to hear about it. So email me, and we'll give you the attention to the show that you mentioned, and we'll give you the credit also. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. By the way, our latest show to know was the classic Stump the Stars with Mike Stokey and Pat Harrington Jr., now available on YouTube in glorious black and white. So check it out if you can. It's really, really wonderful. I think you'll enjoy it. It's charades at a very high level with a lot of great super celebrities. Again, we love hearing from you, so please let us know. Do communicate. I do respond to communication within 24 hours. You also find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter, on social media, at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, however you communicate, we respond. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of the Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate BTR is Candace Williams. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of BTR, Alan Levy, and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Tell Live is brought today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. If you haven't picked a great holiday season gift, why not do it with a trial run of Audible.com? 3 audiobooks for your making over the month. So go ahead, give it a try at audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow We Tell Live, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. Back with us 24 hours from now, tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, covering interactive TV with Tracy Swedlow. You know where, Blog Talk Radio Speaker and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. As always, whatever you're up to between now and then, please make it safe and make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.